Up in the book of Genesis, but Acts number 20 is where we're going to start with our introduction. Joshua was known for finishing well. Tonight we're going to talk about finishing my course with joy, or finish my course of joy, or I guess finishing with joy, however, whatever title you want to write down. Acts chapter number 20. We're looking at that theme verse we introduced last week, and going to continue on talking a little bit about it. You know, there's a lot of things that people aspire to do. And I think one of the things that Paul is saying here in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, I want to finish my course, not just finish it, I want to do it with joy. And that's something that's lacking in many Christians and many believers' lives. I began thinking, meditating, going a little through a little bit of Bible study and thinking about the different people, how they finished. Even the Apostle Paul said, I finished my course. He said, I fought a good fight, I finished my course. And I think of some of the great Bible characters. Joshua is one of those guys at the end of his life. He's still standing strong, still doing what's right. Now, was Joshua perfect? No, no one was perfect except for Jesus Christ. But at the end of his life, you see him continuing on till his last days. I think about Joshua's partner, in a sense, Caleb. I mean, once again, we don't know everybody's story. And even though the Bible doesn't tell exactly how everyone finished, but Caleb in later years, hey, I want that mountain. And he still believed. And I think of even you think about Joseph at the end of his life. We're going to look about a little bit about Joseph and how in his story, in his life, he finished well. I think about Daniel after circumstance. Seems as if he finished well. But there's other Bible characters that really didn't run their whole course. They didn't do exactly what God wanted them to do. They missed some things. First one comes to my mind is Samson. I know what your argument may be is that Samson did more in his death than he did his whole life combined. But that's not the way God intended it. God wanted to use Samson. God gave him, enabled him with that supernatural strength when the Spirit came upon him. And Samson could have done so many wonderful and great things for the Lord. But because of his lust and because of his sin, he didn't do exactly what God wanted him to do. And I think about other Bible characters. I think about Absalom and some of the privileges that Absalom had, and he threw it away. I think about Ananias and Sapphira, part of that first century church, how exciting that must have been. All those people saved, all those different things happening, but they threw it away. Think about Demas having forsaken Paul because he loved this present world. There's a lot of different things. Am I going to finish my course? Am I going to do what God's called me to do with my life? And here you see Acts chapter 20, verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. And he says, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So finishing a race is not something you're going to do by accident. Finishing a course is not something you're going to do without at least making the decision, this is something I want to do. So let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I think about what we're going to talk about tonight, and this is a desire for my life. I want to finish the course you've given me. I want to accomplish those things you have set aside for me to do, you've called me to do. But Lord, I don't want to just do it. I want to do it with joy. And Lord, I pray as we look at some things tonight and looking at the example of Joseph, that even though there was difficult times and hard times, that there were people that were able to finish their course and that they did it with the right type of spirit. And Lord, I pray you work in our hearts tonight, making a commitment to finish out what you've called us to do, whether we're young or old, but also, Lord, that we will pray and ask that we do it with the right type of spirit. And Lord, I pray that you encourage us tonight through your word. See the example of Joseph and how he started with faith, he continued with faithfulness, and made it happen because he was willing to forgive. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you help us understand not to have a bitter spirit, but to have the joy because our hearts and minds are focused and set on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so just one little phrase and sort of an introduction. I really have two different messages that we're going to try to combine into one. And it's about Joseph a little bit, talking about what we talked about this morning, about how we can live for God during dark times, and how you can see how Joseph was able to finish out his course. And even he believed and trusted God so much, he says, hey, when God sends you out of this place, I want you to take my bones with me, because I don't want to be buried here. I know God's going to be faithful and God's going to answer. So let's focus for a few words, a few minutes, on this phrase, finish my course with joy. To be able to get a complete understanding, let's start off with the two words, my course. Now you think about what that word course means. It's speaking of a race. It's speaking of something that is set before us. Well, I think Paul is saying here, he says, look, I want to finish my course. What's he talking about? He's, I want to do God's will for my life. I want to stay focused on what God put me at and where he sent me, and I want to continue on going down that road. I like the fact that he used that word my. It's my course. Many times we get in trouble because we're worried about everybody else's course. We're worried about how this person's doing and what this person's accomplishing and what this person is accomplishing. And I understand, as somebody sometimes in leadership, like a parent, while you're concerned about your child's course, obviously. I know even as a pastor, you know, I pray for people that they'll follow the Lord's course. But I'm talking about people that are so worried about everybody else's course, they're not running their own course. They feel like God has appointed them to be the person that's supposed to give direction and send people in their lives. But that's what the Holy Spirit of God is. And we're not the Holy Spirit for people. Sometimes God does speak to us, and we help people and we encourage people. But I want to encourage you, focus on your course. Don't get so worked up about the person in the next lane. Don't get worried. You know, finish your course. What has God given you to do? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, the joy that was set before him, the ministry, the course that was set before him, he was willing to endure the cross, he was willing to despise the shame, and look where he's at today, at the right hand of the throne of God. And then he says, for consider him that endured such contradictions to sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. And what the scripture is saying there, if we would consider everything that Jesus went through in his course, and the persecution that he faced during those dark days, being rejected of men, being nailed to a cross, spat upon, people not believing him, people calling him, saying he had demons, all those other things. He did all those things, and he still was able to finish his course. Now, I know that we're not Jesus and we're not going to be perfect, but at the same time, we're told, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We should have the same goals. God's given us a course to run, and he wants us to finish that course, and he wants us to do it with joy. And that's why Paul is saying here, none of these things move me. Think about those different courses that Bible characters had. And I think about some of them, and many of them we would not have signed up for. I don't know who your favorite Bible character is, but Barnabas is one of my favorites because I enjoy the how he helped others, the love he demonstrated, the generosity he had. And also, he was a guy that was kind of in the background. He wasn't somebody who is in the forefront and the flashing lights, which there's nothing wrong with those people. But at the same time, we probably wouldn't want to be in the same course that Barnabas had. Or I know we probably wouldn't want to do what Isaiah was called to do, or Jeremiah. All the things that Daniel went through, all the things that David went through, all the things that Joseph had to go through, all those many different things, and there's different characters in the Bible. You think about Esther, you think about Ruth, you think about Naomi. So many different Bible characters had different and interesting courses. And I look around the room and I see people from different areas, and people that have lived a long life and people that are just getting started in their life. And God's got a plan for all of us. The amazing thing, he is God, but the question is, he's given us something to do. Are we going to finish what he's given us to do? My course. So what is my course today? Is our course to not do anything? It's not found anywhere in the Bible. Does it say, hey, you've done enough. Stop doing anything. It's just not there. That's what is your course? It's figuring out what God's will is, and doing it is the greatest thing you can do with your life. Run your race. That's why it's called my course. And then he uses the word finish. That idea of finish means to complete, to accomplish, to fulfill. I mentioned last week when we talked about this just for a second, Jesus said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Man, how much, what a spiritual aspiration. God, I know the work you gave me to do. I finished what you've asked me to do. Yeah, well, that is a goal. That's sort of like running that race and finishing that race. And we know all heard of stories of people that struggle with running. I remember when I was in sixth grade, I went to public school. It was the only year I went to public school. And there was, back then, I don't know if they do it today, but you have to run a certain lap or you have to do a certain a mile or whatever in a certain time period to pass the class. And in sixth grade, many of you know I had a problem with my eye. I had I had to take a steroid, so I got to be really, really big, which isn't like why I am now, but bigger than what I was now, especially for sixth grade. And when they had to go through that lap, I had to finish that. When I started that mile, I was the last person to finish that mile. And, you know, after I got off the steroid, I lost a lot of weight, began playing sports and things like that. But there had to be a mindset, a decision. Hey, you got to finish that. You're going to have to do that. And that was a struggle for me when other people are watching you and, you know, when girls are running by you and you're thinking, great. But it's the decision that we have to have. We don't know what the course is going to be like, but whatever God puts in front of me, I want to accomplish it. I want to finish it, whatever his will is for my life. And that's what Paul is saying, that none of these things move me. I'm not going to let these things distract me. I'm not going to let the fact that it hurts sometimes. And sometimes people are not nice to me. And sometimes people, circumstances aren't my friends. I'm going to keep on. And my purpose in this life is to finish the work that God's given me. Finish it as a parent. Finish it as a mate. Finish whatever he's called us to do. As a church member, as a Sunday school teacher, whatever he's called me to do. And I began thinking a little bit and looking at some of the challenges. And if you go and you look up, we use the word pastor, we use the word assistant pastor, people that are in a full-time ministry. And you look at how many times people don't stay around as long as they used to. Many pastors leave the ministry. Many pastors average a church attendance of being at church for 4 years to 5 years. Assistant pastors, 1.5 to 3 years. Missionaries, you'd be surprised how many missionaries don't go back for their second term. They didn't finish the course. Now, sometimes there are circumstances. Sometimes they are moved to another ministry. But if you go and you do some research, there's many times when people have left the ministry that God, they believe God called them. Can you make a mistake on the calling of God in your life? Sure. If you're not listening and you're trying to do something that God never called you to do and you finally get your heart in tune and do something differently, of course. But at the same time, that's not most cases. Most cases, people get excited, they hear from God, this is what I want to do with my life, this is what I believe God's called me to do, and then they turn around and they stop in their journey. It is not to do something else, but instead it's more to stand on the sideline. So it says, finish my course. Paul, even later on, in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course. So those are the things that are there. And then you have... And the only way you're going to finish your course is with that lifelong vision. You're not looking at life by just tomorrow and the next day. You're living for the future. You're living with eternity in mind. We're not living just for the here and now. We are trying to finish and finish well. I think about the story of Job. And Job was someone in his life that faced many difficulties for a period of time. And at the end of his life, or at the end of what we have recorded in scriptures, it says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. What does that tell me? He stayed faithful to the end. Not only does it say that, so Job died being old and full of days. And I like that phrase, full of days. I think it's saying he lived life to his fullest for the Lord. He was full of days. I know it means that he was older, but I think each of his days were full. So are we going to finish our course of joy? Are we going to be like the Daniels of old when they're older and they're still living for God, and the Pauls that at the end of his life, he's still serving God, and Joshua's sitting there, an old man saying, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, or Caleb saying, hey, I want that mountain. Are we going to be somebody that finishes what God has given us? And that next phrase is with joy. You know, cheer, and what does the word joy mean? It means a cheerfulness. It's a calm delight, a gladness. And you say, well, Pastor, how does that happen? I know sometimes older people can get grumpy. I don't know if you've ever been around grumpy people before, and sometimes young people can get grumpy, but older people can be grumpy. Even older people inside of a ministry can be grumpy. And Paul's not aspiring to finish the course, no matter how much it hurts him and how many people he hurts. No, he says, I want to finish this course, and I want to do it with joy. And I've seen many times, especially the younger generation coming up, and you see, like, it looks like sometimes, especially you look at these magazines or these CD covers, it looks like everybody's angry. So they can definitely be grumpy too. But I've met a lot of people that are in the ministry that have served the Lord for a lot of years, and they're missing something. They're missing this word joy. Not only just people that serve in the Lord and the ministry full time, I've seen that a lot in church members too. People that cannot have that cheerfulness that comes with the Holy Spirit leading and guiding their lives. So I want to take now, let's go back to the book of Genesis and look at how Joseph finished his course of joy. Joseph has a really interesting story. I'm going to preach as if many of you know a little bit about the story already, because we're going to try to span a numbers of chapters in the Bible in just a short period of time to show you how Joseph finished his course of joy and how we can finish our course of joy. So go ahead and go to Genesis chapter number 37. Genesis chapter number 37, finishing with joy. So we've established the principle, God's got a plan for your life. He's got his will for your life. We want to finish that course. We want to continue on. And not only do we want to finish it, we want to do it with joy. So finishing with joy is point number one. Finishing with joy begins with faith. Finishing with joy begins with faith. If you're going to get in this Christian race, it's going to begin somewhere. It's going to begin when you accept Christ as your personal Savior. How does a person get saved? It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's when we have faith and we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So it begins with faith. And the story of Joseph's life, it began with faith. For me, you might feel a little bit differently, but for me, I think the thing that kept Joseph going all those years was the fact that God gave him a dream at the beginning. At the beginning of the story, he goes and God gives him this vision or this dream, and God used to work that way and God dealt with that way on a regular basis, and he believed in that dream. And then as we see his course, which was a crazy one, his course of going around and going through Egypt and going through Potiphar's house, going through prison, to going to the palace. I mean, that was a crazy course, but he finished it. And we're going to look here why I believe he finished it with joy. So it begins with faith. So the only way we're going to be able to finish with joy is when we are living by faith. The Christian race is not only difficult, it is impossible. There's many people who try to live the Christian race in their own strength. They try to run the race in their own strength, in their own power, but it's impossible without God. The Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. And he's not referring to faith in ourselves and what we can accomplish. He's referring to the faith that we find in God. So the Christian race is not only difficult, it's impossible. We must have faith. And where does faith come from? Faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. It's things that we hear when we read the Bible, when we learn of the Bible, when we hear preaching of the Bible. Look at the dream that Joseph tells his family about. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 37, verse number 5. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. So God gives Joseph his dream. He goes and tells his brothers. His brothers are not excited. They actually even despise him more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brother said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and it told it his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brother, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee and to the earth? And his brothers envied him, but his father observed this saying. So what I'm saying here is that it begins in faith, and I think that he holds on to this. He believes God has a plan for him. It's sort of like David when he was anointed to be king. He believed that was God's plan for his life. So he went and he ran and he hid from Saul all those years, and he had his faith and his confidence trusted in what God's word had told him. Not just the Bible, but God had showed him and demonstrated to him. That's what Joseph holds on to. If we're going to finish with joy, the first thing we need to learn how to do is to have faith. It begins with faith. It begins with faith at salvation, and it increases as we hear the word of God and we respond to the word of God. So did Joseph trust in God's plan? Did Joseph have faith that was still strong even in the end? Take your Bible to chapter 41 and verse 32. So Joseph is here, and he is interpreting the Pharaoh's dream. And in the Pharaoh's dream, there was a double dream. People think that was kind of interesting. Well, why was there two dreams there? But you also see that there was a double dream also in Joseph's life. So you see the double dream that's found in chapter 37. He is interpreting a double dream also in chapter 41. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 41. Look what it says in verse 32. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So what does that mean? I believe that means that Joseph believes that Pharaoh's dream is going to become true. Why does Joseph believe that? Because he still believes in the dreams that God gave him many years earlier. 13 years earlier, he had been shown a dream, and he still is clinging on to that dream. That's why he's faithful in Potiphar's house. That's why he's not messing around with Potiphar's wife. That's why in the prison cell, he's still serving with gladness. That's the reason why he can go to the Pharaoh and say, you know what? God can interpret dreams. Because, you know, God showed himself and demonstrated himself, and he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker too. He believed that God was going to do what he promised to do. And in our course for our life that we should be following, that we want to finish, we should believe what God has given us to do. What he's given us to do, we should go and we should run this race. We can do it with joy. And it begins with faith, holding on to the promises of God. God has given me this job to do, this life to love, live, and this race to run. And it begins with faith. And the second thing, not only does it begin with faith, it continues... It continues with faithfulness. Finishing with joy begins with faith, and then finishing with joy continues with faithfulness. As exciting as the prospects of faith are, it sometimes can take a little while to see the results. It sometimes can take a little bit longer than we think. David was anointed to be king as a young man. He didn't become king for many years. Joseph had that dream as a young man. He didn't become second in charge. It never came to fruition for many years. It's whether or not we're going to be faithful to God's call. You think about it. There was certainly, in the case of Joseph's life, he had to wait for a number of years before the dreams ever came for fulfillment. And he was faithful. Think about it. When he was betrayed by his brothers in Genesis chapter 37, thrown into the pit, sold into slavery. When he was tempted by his Potiphar's wife or his boss's wife in Genesis 39, verses 7 through 9. When he was falsely accused in Genesis chapter 39, verses 20 by Potiphar's wife. When he was thrown into prison. When he was forgotten by the butler and the baker. Well, not by the baker, he was gone. When he was forgotten by the butler. In all those different things, he remained faithful to the plan that God had for him. He kept his eye on the prize. God's called me to something. I know this is what he wants me to do. I'm going to stay faithful, and I'm going to keep on running the course. Yes, sometimes as we're running this course, sometimes it goes through some dark times. Sometimes it goes through some valley. Sometimes there's some mountaintops. When he's there and he's sold into Potiphar's house, you know, he becomes the one that's in charge of Potiphar's house for a little while. You know, those is probably a little bit of a mountaintop situation. Things look better. They're getting better. But that still wasn't God's plan. He had to continue on running. He had to continue on in his purpose for his life. As exciting as the promises of God are, we must remember to stay faithful even when we're hated as Joseph was by his brothers, when we're tempted as Joseph was by Potiphar's wife, when we're lied about as Potiphar's wife did, when we're forgotten as if we don't even matter to those that we try to help like the butler had. There is a lot of things on this course that we can get discouraged about and we can give up in and we can say it's not worth it, but we're not running for anyone else. We're running the course for the Lord. And he's given us a promise. Joseph is here and he's interacting and he's seeing that this is all part of God's plan. So instead of getting mad, instead of giving up, instead of being frustrated, instead of being angry, if you want to finish with joy, you're going to have to first start off with faith. I believe the promises of God. I believe God's here and he's given me a job to do and a responsibility to do it. And I'm going to do my best to run the course that God's given me. It continues with being faithful, despite the hard times that are laid ahead. Paul wrote it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." I can see the Apostle Paul's course being like that. I can see it in Joseph's life. All the things that happened to Joseph, no one likes to get lied about. No one likes to be getting falsely accused. No one likes really to be tempted to do the things against what God wants us to do. No one likes to be forgotten like he was by the butler. Nobody likes to be treated that way. But Joseph held on to that faith he had in God. He remained faithful because he trusted God to be faithful. Third thing I want you to think about is finishing with joy begins with faith, it continues with faithfulness, and finishing with joy requires forgiveness. I know you can finish, but you're never going to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish until you learn how to forgive. I've seen bitterness take people out of church. I've seen bitterness and hard-heartedness cause people to stop having joy in their lives. I was telling the young people in the young adult class today about a gentleman I met yesterday at the grocery store and had a conversation with outside, and he hasn't been to church for a while, for a long time. You could tell he was upset about something or another. He says, "Oh, your church," when I invited him to church, he says, "Oh, your church wouldn't want me to be there." And he began saying some different things. And he professed to be a believer. He talked about knowledge, talked about prophecy, all these different things. And I told him, I says, in my mind, I says, "It seems like you're distracting some of the big issues in life with some of the things that you are making, you know, preferences." He's talking about a red heifer and about how that's in prophecy. And I says, I asked him where he goes to church. He says, "I don't go to church anywhere." I says, "Great, you should come to our church." "Oh, your church wouldn't want me to be there." And I says, "Of course people can come. We want everyone to come and feel welcome here." And I was telling him, he was missing what God's plan was for his life. It begins with faith. If he wasn't saved, he needs to get saved, and he needs to continue on the course. But somewhere down the road, he got off the course. He began focusing on things that some people could argue about or questionable things. And what do you think about this? What do I think about that? And I was like, "Well, I know one thing. I know Christ saved me. I know Christ tells us we're supposed to be in church. I know Christ wants us to be ministering and serving him in a local church, I believe." I said, "Those are the important things. Yes, those other details are things we can discuss, but there is something that is stopping you from your course and stopping you to do what's most important." And sometimes I go visit people and they're like, "I'm not going back to church anymore. I don't believe it. I'm a Christian, but and you're missing something. You've gotten off course somehow." And oftentimes it's this thing, is they've been offended by someone and they chose not to forgive. They've let bitterness and hard-heartedness come into their life. And because of that, it is dominating their life. And they no longer are they running their race. Not only have they slowed down in the race, they become a spectator in the race and just watching the other people serve. And many times as they're watching, they're criticizing and they're no longer in church. And he's like, "Well, so-and-so hurt me and so-and-so." Okay, then what does the Bible say for us to do? You go to the person. And if you go to the person, that doesn't work, take somebody with you. And if you need to, find another church. There's a lot of good churches out there. And that's not God's plan either many times. But run that race. Don't let things or people stop you. One of the things I enjoy about Joseph, he had a choice here. he could get better or he could get bitter. I'm sure he could get bitter by the brothers not even willing to speak peacefully to him in chapter 37. He could have gotten bitter by the father rebuking him for just telling him what God had showed him. He could have gotten bitter in the pit. Remember when he was crying out? Those guys could go and sit over there and eat their lunch while their younger brother is crying from a pit. Those guys are actually talking about killing him, but instead, he chooses to forgive them. Wow. You know why? He believed God was going to be faithful, and he could finish that course of joy. How do you know he finished with joy? How do you know that Joseph in this story was someone who finished with joy? One of the ways, I think, and take your Bible, chapter 45, one of the ways I see that he was not bitter, it was the way he treated the butler and the baker. And I preached a message last year about that, that even while in prison, even while being in charge in prison, serving these guys, he cares about what the butler and the baker, what was going on, because in their hearts and their minds, they looked sad. But also in chapter 45, you see how he responds to his brothers. Now, at this point in time, he could have already had his brothers put to death. At this point in time, he could have already extracted his revenge. But he doesn't. Instead, it says in verse number 3, when he's revealing himself, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And it says, and his brother could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Verse number 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. You think about it. He is here, and he is not having bitterness in his heart. He's saying, this was God's course for my life. This was God's plan for my life. And then he begins to talk about the different things that are there. But it's amazing. He's there, and he's even in tears because of the fact he is so happy to see these people who have sold him to in slavery, but he saw how God worked it all out. I want to encourage you today, if you're going to finish with joy, you're going to have to learn how to be like Joseph and forgive. Now, Joseph is a picture of Christ in many ways. He was loved by their father. They were rejected by their brothers. They were victorious over temptation. They were sold for the equivalent of one day's wages. They were taken in custody because of a false witness. They were persecuted for doing what is right. But one of the ways I love about Joseph was his forgiveness reminds me of Christ. Joseph could have snuffed out his brothers by just speaking one word. No one would have questioned. He chose to forgive. Jesus could have wiped off the entire planet with people, but instead he laid down his life to give us the mercy and forgiveness we did not deserve. If we're going to really have joy in our lives, we're not going to be able to harbor grudges. We're going to have to learn how to forgive, as the Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, and be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And forgiveness is a choice. We often have the opportunity to injure other people. We often have the opportunity in some way to injure those who have injured us. We get back, we get even. It makes us feel good for a little while, but then we realize we want more revenge. But when we choose to forgive, we progress light years ahead and we in our Christian walk, and we say, I'm finishing my course, because I believe on our course, nowhere does it say, hey, I want you to run with bitterness. It doesn't say that. He says, I want you to run with joy. Unforgiveness is something that will make finishing your course with joy impossible. He even says later on, he says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. He was a joyful individual. He was happy to send and help the brothers and help their kids and help their family. He was so joyful to see his father. To me, Joseph is an example of a young man who chose to believe and trust and have faith in God's plan for his life. And even though God was taking him and training him and making him ready and prepared for the day that he was going to save many people, he was able to do it with joy. I know some of us have been hurt. Some of us have had things happen in our life that is a challenge, and it would be easy for us to respond in anger and with frustration, holding grudges and being bitter. But Paul himself said that I might finish my course with joy. And if you go through, and people had a lot of people had the opportunity to be angry with Paul. But when Paul became a Christian, there was many people he could have been angry with also. But he chose to say, hey, here's one of my goals in life, something I want to be steadfast in. I want to focus on finishing what God's given me to do, but I want to do it with the right type of spirit. I want to challenge you. Maybe you're on the course that God wants you to be. Maybe you really, I'm in my lane, I'm serving, I'm being a witness, I'm reading my Bible, I'm praying, I'm being a light to my family, I'm giving, I'm doing all the things I know I'm supposed to do. Praise the Lord. Most people can't say that. I'm on the course and I'm in my lane. Okay, do you have the right spirit? Many of us, the challenge is just being on the course, because sometimes sin takes us out of that course and we've taken ourselves away from what God has designed and intended for us to do. And Paul is saying here, I want to finish my course and I want to do it with joy. Tonight, are you doing what God's called you to do? Whatever that is. Maybe God's calling somebody into a full-time ministry. Maybe God's calling somebody in to serve in the local church in a way. Maybe God's calling you to forgive somebody. Whatever it is, wherever he wants you, it is God's best and God's plan for your life. And whatever that is, let's be faithful doing it. You say, Pastor, it seems really hard and difficult. The days that we're living in, people can't serve in these days. We talked about that this morning. You think about Joseph. He could have said, it's too hard. I can't run this course. It's too difficult. And we can't do it on our own. It begins with that faith. It begins with faith. It continues with faithfulness. And it's made possible when we're willing to forgive. Tonight, how to finish your course of joy. Faith, faithfulness, and forgiveness. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you never know how a message or a sermon will touch someone's heart. And I know it's a challenge because there are so many of us today that want to accomplish one thing or accomplish something else. And we don't even give thought to what God would design us to do. As we saw this morning, as we saw you high and lifted up, help us to understand the importance of the truth of knowing who truly is in charge of our lives. Help us to consider whatever change it needs to happen. But help us to commit. Help us say, Lord, I'm in this race, and I want to finish this course. It's not a sprint. It's not a walk. It's just faithfully serving you. And Lord, help us to consider the dreams that you've dreamt for us, what you designed our life to be, where we're at, and what you've called us to be. Whether it be teacher, whether it be serving, whatever way it is, we know as a child of God there are certain expectations. Help us to be running our course. Help us to be faithful with our course. Help us to be an encouragement with other people's course. And help us to look with eternity in mind, saying, there's nothing more and better I can do with my life than to finish this course that God's given me. And like the Apostle Paul, he can say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course at the end of his life. Like Jesus himself said, I finished the work that you've given me to do. Lord, help us to discover what that course is and help us to faithfully run it. But Lord, also help us to do it with joy. Help the love of Christ to be shining through in our hearts and lives. Lord, we want to be a witness. We need to be a witness. Our course right now in this world seems like it's the nation we live in is headed towards some hard times. Lord, it's part of the course. Help us to be faithfully running it. Help us not to become bitter. Help us not to become angry at the wrong things. Instead, help us to believe and trust in you and remain faithful and be willing to forgive as your word says. In Jesus' name, amen.